It's a freedom machine like no other, starting, growing, and cashing out of your own business.
Then all hell breaks loose.
Burned out, carrying all the weight on your shoulders, fighting fire after fire, never getting a break.
But that was so yesterday.
It's time for your business breakthrough. Break out of the bottleneck. Break through to new levels of success. And break into a life you love. Now from Park Avenue in New York City, here's attorney, strategist, and SBA small business champion, Nina Kaufman. This is the Business Breakthrough Podcast.
Hello, how are you? Welcome to Business Breakthrough. I'm your host, Nina Kaufman, coming to you from the heart of New York City, and I'm glad you're here today. Thanks for tuning in. In this episode, we're going to chat with Sandy Jones Kaminsky. She's a social media marketing strategist, an international speaker, and author. We're going to discuss maximizing your networking ROI so you can scale. So stay tuned for that. And one of the reasons that I wanted to talk to Sandy today is that there's an interesting analogy, as you may have heard in networking circles, that difference between hunting and farming. Now, you may have heard me use the analogy of cavemen, where you go out mammoth hunting and you take your spear and you go out into the wild and you hunt down a mammoth and you drag it back to the cave and you skin it and cook it and use the bones and the skin and all of that. But suddenly you're down to your last mammoth bone. And then you have to go out hunting again, that sense of you hunt it, you kill it, you bring it home. And you ever been at networking events where you just feel like someone's looking at you like you're prey? They walk up to you and they just can't wait to shove their business card in your hand and get yours into theirs. It just reminds me of like the Bugs Bunny cartoons where you have the Bugs Bunny cartoons where suddenly someone would look at Bugs Bunny and see him as a cooked rabbit on a platter festooned with carrots. Well, that doesn't always leave us with a really great feeling, does it? And it's usually not sustainable in terms of building business. I mean, think of how many times you've been at those events, you've taken the cards, and what have you done with them? They've either, you've thrown them in a garbage, if you're efficient with that, or you stick them in a drawer, or you put them in a pile, and 3 years later, the rubber band has started to deteriorate, and you're wondering, who is this person and why? Well, you'll never be able to scale those business development efforts and the ROI if you're always thinking about meeting people as a way of hunting. And there's a different analogy in terms of farming, planting seeds, letting them do their own good work. And I heard a story about, bamboo, but also asparagus, that you can spend time cultivating bamboo. And for the first year, you plant the seeds, you water, you tend, you make sure there are no weeds, no pests. And after the first year, not a lot happens. And after the second year, you tend, you water, you make sure there are no pests. And maybe not a lot happens. And after the third year, you're still tending. And you're watering. And you're making sure there are no pests. And there may still be not a lot happening. But, oh boy, in year four, all of a sudden you see a little green shoot start to pop up. And then, pah, you have results. And you have results that are sustainable. And that's something that we touch on in our special report, 10 Steps to a Million Dollar Business. Because if you're not planting the seeds to get sustainable results time after time, you're always going to find yourself back in square one. You're always going to find yourself having to hunt. It's like that the Greek myth of Sisyphus, pushing the rock, the boulder, all the way up the hill, only to have it roll all the way back. And pushing the rock all the way up the hill. And having it roll all the way back on and on for eternity. Well, that's not a way we're going to be able to build, grow, and sell our businesses, is it? So, do you want to get traction? And you want to be able to grow and scale those business development efforts so it's not all on your shoulders? Well, that's why I'm looking forward to discussing this with our guest this week, Sandy Jones Kaminsky. Sandy is a social media marketing strategist. She's an international speaker and author who believes that networking today is all about planting seeds, not bagging prey. She's the founder and chief connecting officer of Bella Domain Media, where she teaches business owners and their teams how to maximize LinkedIn, networking, and social media as marketing levers. How about that for leverage? Marketing levers to generate more prospects, more buzz, and more connections. She's an engaging speaker and media resource and the author of the Inc.com 2010 Business Book Wish List, the number one pick on that list. I'm at a networking event. Now what? That's the title of her book. She joins us from the San Francisco area, where it sounds like she's got a wonderfully balanced life, enjoying the innovative and entrepreneurial culture and access to whale watch boats and redwood trees. How cool is that? And we're delighted to have her here on Business Breakthrough. Hey, Sandy, thanks so much for being with us today.
My pleasure, Nina. Thanks for having me.
One of the things that I've certainly found in growing my business is that is the importance of networking. And I get it that you've got hunting versus farming, but farming seems to take so long. Tell me something. Why would the hunting mentality, you know, that idea of like Cecil the Lion, you go into a big room and you nail the big game and you walk out. How does that hurt a business owner's ability to scale?
Well, usually hunters are kind of violent and aggressive, and often, you know, they end up doing more damage than good when they're going out there into the world trying to network and connect with other people. And it's something that ultimately bites you in the behind, because you're not making the best impression you could. You're not leaving the best experience in someone's mind that you could have when you've encountered them. And just having a hunting mentality about networking is just kind of the polar opposite of the way people approach it today, right? We're much more socially aware. And by social, I mean social media and, you know, social networking and all of those tools and platforms that are out there for us to do things online. So I just mean in terms of that social context, we're used to being a bit more friendly and a bit more personable with people when we're encountering them online, because often it's public, right? Whatever we're doing is very public and very visible to other people. So when people go into physical locations and are encountering people, a lot of that behavior is carrying over into the in-person events and conferences today, where people know how to be a little more social and a little more curious and interested in other people when they're meeting them, as opposed to, what do you got for me? You know, who are you? Can you help me or not? And working so quickly to try and dismiss people. It's just not ultimately a fruitful approach to networking, right? Those people shouldn't even bother trying to do it. They should just do cold calls or send out spammy emails, in my opinion.
So when I'm online, just to clarify, and I'm seeing somebody go on some, you know, crazy rant or screed, that's usually because it's not a political, but it's a personal opinion about a matter. It's not necessarily a business type situation. So you're saying the online world has, in a way, helped us. So we're more public, and there are more possibilities that can come back and backfire on us if we are truly obnoxious online. So we, you know, we play more nicely in the sandbox.
That's been my experience. And I've been, you know, working since the 80s. So I know of the world out there in which I speak, that in terms of being at events and having that public environment where you might be a little abrupt with somebody in an event and you really didn't worry about it as much because you thought, oh, I'm never going to see them again. So not only do we have different behaviors because of how we know how to act socially online, we also know that you can't do anything without somebody possibly taking a picture of it, writing about it, or posting something about it the next day, or even at events, right? People tweet stuff at events where they're talking about a speaker and they're saying, I can't believe she just said that, right? And it's going out to maybe 5,000 of their little followers who then pick up on it and share it with others. I mean, we just have to be so much more mindful about how we interact with people and how we place our expectations on them, that it just doesn't work anymore. The old school way of, you know, passing out a million business cards and trying to collect the same amount just isn't effective. I mean, I always joke about, I post a lot of events on some of my social sites on Facebook and LinkedIn, and I will never post a speed networking event because I just don't believe that that is an effective way. Maybe it works for dating because chemistry is king when it comes to dating. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to networking, you just never really know who people know until you get to know them, because they don't often volunteer that right away, or they haven't spent enough time with you to understand who your sweet spot target client is, right? Who is the right person for your business or your needs or your blog or whatever it might be. So you really have to put in a little bit more effort today to find out who people are. And again, you know, my whole reality is based on more of a, what do they need help with, right? So it's kind of hard to be hunting when you're concerned about your prey, right? So if you care about your prey, and you're curious about them and get to know them, you sort of stop that hunting. And I just think that the idea of being able to scale these efforts has more to do with just being more methodical about how you approach your networking activities, how frequently you do it, setting goals for yourself prior to these events or opportunities, right? It's not about trying to go out 3 days every week and making 20 new contacts. You know, I'm more about make 10 new contacts that are of decent quality and then put some effort into cultivating them and seeing what happens. Because we all know sometimes the person you meet is not the prospect, or they may not even be married to the prospect, but guess what? You know, their old boss is now the prospect, or their former coworker, or their brother-in-law. So if you spend a little more time on people that you genuinely find interesting and smart or thoughtful or thought-provoking, whatever it might be. I mean, most of my business leads that aren't referrals come from people like that, that it's not necessarily that one person. It's always a second or third degree connection after that. And there are statistics that prove this out in terms of job search even, right? That most of the time the job lead doesn't come directly from someone you know, it's from someone they know. And that's how the word gets out, and then you're referred through that friend. Mm-hmm. So the same thing often happens with business.
Yes. And so you've raised two really important things that I want to make sure that we follow both paths. The first, and I've never quite thought about it this way, but that the online world and the way we're networking in the online world is really having repercussions in our offline world. It's not just, oh, we're a kinder, gentler people who farm instead
right.
of hunt. It's that how we react and respond and act with each other online is also having an effect online. So can you talk a bit about how important it is to have the online and the offline presence being in sync?
Yeah, that's actually one of my chapters in my book. And I meant to send you one. So I have to get your address when we're done. But
all right,
that's one of my chapters, is this: you have to have consistency there, that having a disconnect between how you are online and how you are in person is a huge mistake today. You need to be very conscious of how you're presenting yourself in both situations. And the example I often give in my presentations and my talks is the opposite of what you think. I talk often about the person who's very snarky and funny online, right? You love their blog. You read their columns on Entrepreneur, Fortune, or Forbes, or wherever. And you think that they're just this like great spark plug. And then you encounter them at an event or a conference, and they're incredibly quiet, introverted, and not good at eye contact, and very uncomfortable. And that is a huge challenge today for people, that you can't hide anymore, right? You are very public. I mean, think about it. Even some of the veteran journalists of our time who were so used to being able to be just a photo on a newspaper page or a magazine article with their byline. They have to be on social today, and their publishers will fire them if they're not, right? So all of a sudden, they have to be so present and accessible as well, right? And creating dialogue with people. What was our recourse in the, you know, a letter to the editor? I mean, that's all you could do. And today, it's so opposite that people have to have more consistency between how they are in word or in a podcast even versus how they are when they encounter you in person, because it happens, right? Even with all the online stuff, it's just like, I always talk about it, it's like, oh, we thought we were going to get rid of paper because of the digital world. And in fact, we're consuming more paper than ever. Well, it's the same thing with social, right? That if anything, we have way more interactions and there's way more expectation for in-person as well, because now you feel like you know people more and they're more accessible. I mean, I read an article recently, I wish I could remember where it was, about how speakers have spent so much more time. The Q&A needs to be extended at so many of these conferences because people are less inhibited about asking questions of the speakers because they feel like they know them, right? So they wait in line to get to the mic and they feel like they know this person, and they'll mention their Twitter handle or they'll mention their podcast or whatever it might be. And I'm saying their own, right? They'll say to the speaker, oh, I'm at Sandy JK. I was on your blog last week. I'm the one who asked you about, you know, Michael Davis or whatever it is, right? So everything is connecting in ways we never imagined. And everything we do is so visible and so scrutinized, right? And I'm sure you get this, but people are always commenting to me when they meet me or they've heard me speak that I am just like my sound in my blog post, or I am just, oh my God, you're just like you are in person as you were in that comment you put on Entrepreneur or whatever it might be, right? Where people are sort of like, wow, you really are that, you know, like that direct and whatever it might be, that, or funny or whatever. And that to me is a compliment. I mean, I'm striving for that. I want to be consistent and recognizable, whether it's in print or in person or whatever it might be. And I think that answers your question or your desire.
Oh, yes. No, absolutely it does. Yeah. And the point that you're raising is interesting because it reminds me of a, you know, I'm going to use the word infographic, but actually when I first saw it, I think it was just something written down. And now we create an infographic around it. But it had to do with employment laws. And in 1900, maybe there were two laws on the books. Right. And as of, I don't know, 2000, you know, 100 years later, there were 472 laws on the books dealing with employees. And similarly with networking, it used to be, you know what, you're in your community.
Right.
And you walk out of your shop and you walk down the street and you know the baker and the butcher and everybody else. And nowadays, there are so many different ways to connect with people, whether it's in person and all the different events and all the different online forms. So you raised a really good point about being consistent and methodical. Right. Because when you're completely haphazard, it becomes an absolute mess, as I well know. So what are some of the different systems? I speak from personal pain. Truly, I do.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's growing pains. And that's why I love having people like you on the show. So what are some of the different systems involved in attracting clients where we want to be consistent and methodical?
Well, I think today, a lot of the activities that we perform online, whether it's status updates, whether it's email newsletters we send out to our list of opt-in people, whether it's tweets we're sending out, whether it's mailings, right? There's a lot of people who are still doing snail mail mailings because they kind of get through the noise. When somebody gets something in the mail today, if they check their mailbox, right? Maybe people do that less frequently. But there's all sorts of ways that people are communicating and broadcast. This is how I refer to everything now, and I really need to write a blog post about this. But this idea of everything we're doing is like a broadcast channel. So Twitter is one of our channels, right? Even as individuals, as a corporate entity, as a small business, I mean, sometimes small business owners have their own voice and their own broadcast channel, right? But then they might have one for the company. For bigger companies, they always have multiple. They might have one for recruiting. They might want to have one for investor relations. They might have one for the CEO. They might want have one for marketing. So these are all channels that we're broadcasting on. And those channels could be on LinkedIn. They could be on Facebook. They could be on Twitter. They could be in blogs that we contribute to on Entrepreneur or other places like that. And all of those places are places where people are finding out about you, you're raising your visibility, you're creating awareness about your thought leadership, your subject matter expertise. And those are all things that affect and contribute to your ability to grow your network. Because today, we have all these channels that allow people to opt into you passively. And when I say passively, I mean without you knowing even, right?
Sure. So, podcast is a perfect example.
Exactly, exactly. It's a great example. And the idea that you're not even sure who's downloading these, who's listening to them. Now, often if your content is good and intriguing and thought-provoking, people seek out some of your other channels that are maybe more visible, right, to find you and start following you or signing up for your newsletter off your site. Mm-hmm. So all of those places, and this is the other thing, there's all these statistics today, and there's lots of debate back and forth about whether this is true or not. But I know it's true because I always look at myself as the consumer, whether it's a business consuming I'm doing, you know, for business to business, or it's being a consumer and it's Amazon or something. But the reality is that most of us spend 60 to 70% of our buying decision time before we even make contact with the site we're going to purchase from or the person we're thinking about hiring for a service. We do all our homework ahead of time, right? It's part of even buying anything that is from a fishing rod to a shelving system, right? Whatever it might be, we do all this research ahead of time. We do it with airfares. We do all of that so that the point is that everything that you sort of put out there in the ethers is what people look at to determine whether they want to connect with you or buy from you or listen to your podcasts or get your newsletter. There's so much information that we all are putting out there. We're all broadcasting out there that people can sort of make decisions about you before they even contact you. So that's really reverses the whole process, right? It's completely different. It's in each of our individual hands to find out, you know, everything we can before we make a purchase decision or a decision to reach out to somebody to just connect. And we have to be sure that what we're putting out there then is consistent, helpful, you know, informative, whatever, all of those elements need to be there so that when people are doing this researching and digging, they're finding the right stuff about you. You know, this is where people talk about reputation management and they talk about Googling yourself once a month. And the funny thing that I always add to that with my clients is don't just Google your name, make sure you Google your images as well.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
'Cause that's one of the options. And sometimes there's nothing nefarious about it, but sometimes you find out that there's a photo out there, and you probably have this happen where you were at an event or you spoke or you got an award or whatever. And there's some crazy, bad, candid photo of you on somebody's site that they took themselves. And it shows up. I mean, you're mortified because you're just like, oh my gosh, that's the most, unflattering, or, you know, it doesn't really even show your face and you'd rather have it be a good photo, and you can have your intern or your assistant or somebody contact that person and offer them a quality photo instead, right? Like offer them, hey, thank you so much for featuring Nina on your site. We're really excited to find that she was there. We wanted to offer you this photo in replacement. I mean, there's a million ways you could approach that. But the reality is that sometimes it's not even that innocent or unimportant. It actually is important. And it's somebody who would prefer an approved headshot or whatever, right? And you can make sure that those are out there. And
okay. So as we're looking at sort of consistency and being methodical in how we're attracting our clients, from what I'm hearing you say, it's first getting really clear on what are all the different channels that we're broadcasting on, and maybe even just making a list of those and see. And from there, have that content or that outreach plan. We're going to be tweeting twice a week. We got Facebook posts twice a week. We've got LinkedIn things. Here are our groups. So it's knowing the channels, knowing your message. So whether you're looking at a profile on LinkedIn or I'm shaking my hand with you at a networking event, what I say I do and clients that my firm serves, that's always consistent. Actually, I conflated two things. So what's the message and who do we serve? So the channels, the message, and who we serve. So that way, anytime you're online, offline, you're going to an event, you have that brief,
right?
In other words.
And because you focus on scale, I want to talk about this in the context of it's, you know, not just ourselves, right? It's also arming our team or our representatives with that same information.
Beautifully into my next question.
So good. And that idea that this is so important. I'm actually doing a workshop presentation at a small-ish PR communications firm in September, and they're bringing me in to talk to their team, right? Everyone in the agency, about how to present themselves online. You know, specifically, we're focusing on LinkedIn in this case, but it affects everyone in the firm. And some of the tips that I give people are, you know, when you have somebody listing your company and their bio somewhere, and we'll just use LinkedIn as a good example,
because it's
supply them with what you'd like them to put on that profile for your firm. Right. So what I usually recommend to my clients is that when they have a job listing in the experience section, that it has the description of what the firm or company does first. Right. It's one paragraph that you've supplied to them. And then the second paragraph they use to describe what they do at the firm. Right. What their role is specifically. But the idea of providing that to people ahead of time is sort of a, you know, duh to lots of people that, oh, right, I should do that. Make sure it's got the right SEO keywords in there, that it's got the right messaging in there. Otherwise, people aren't sure what to put on these platforms, right? They're not doing anything intentionally that's incorrect. They're not sure what to put there. Some people figure out to just copy content off the company website or whatever it might be. But the idea of making sure your team is representing you out there. And this, obviously, I'll segue into this later, it applies to in person as well, right? That people know how to present your company at an in-person event or at a conference. You know, they're walking around with your name tag on the bottom of their name tag. So are they representing and feeling confident and comfortable explaining what your firm does, what your focus is, and the type of clients you work with, right? That's our responsibility to make sure these people on our teams know this stuff and understand it and are comfortable.
What are some of the ways that we as business leaders can make sure that we are all speaking from the same playbook?
Well, it's so we talked about you could supply this stuff digitally, right? For your online stuff, it's easy to send an email out to. And I say when you onboard people, right? It's part of their onboarding process package. Oh, and here's some copy you can use to put on your LinkedIn profile. You know, this is our current messaging, right? It's part of their orientation and they can follow that up on that themselves. And maybe somebody does an audit once a month to make sure that everything on LinkedIn related to the firm looks great. You can even have a paragraph for them for their summary section, more a little bit more about the firm and why they love their job at your firm, whatever it might be. But then for, you know, helping them when they go to events or conferences, it's really coaching them and role-playing with them on, so what will you say if somebody asks you X? What will you say if somebody asks you Y? Right? And helping them get comfortable with that introduction or elevator pitch, right? And that they know what is ideal for them to say and letting them put it in their own voice or their own style when it comes to it, but that they actually know maybe a few bullet points of the things you want to make sure that they cover. Because remember, when they go to these events, odds are you might be paying for their ticket, admission ticket, right? Their parking, their conference ticket, whatever it might be. So again, it's doing the pre-work, the pre-planning to make sure that they are comfortable and armed with the right wording to use and they feel confident about talking to new people. And that's the other workshop I'm doing at this PR agency, is we're doing one on networking. And we're going to go through like how to start conversations, how to exit conversations when it's run its course, how to do that with some finesse, right? And what questions you can ask and boost up their confidence. Because what this firm is doing immediately after my session, which is one of the last of the day, is they're having an open house from 5 to 8 for all their clients and vendors and prospects. So they, you know, this is the CEO and their head of operations wanting to keep all of them from standing along the wall like wallflowers, right? Being hostesses and hosts to the people coming into the office and getting them empowered and confident about that and having the right messaging. So they're going to be rolling out some new messaging as part of this. They're doing like a 2-day in-house sort of retreat thing. And that's what I'm going to come in for. So, you know, I loved that they were thinking about this. And I thought, yes, this is exactly the kind of thing that firms, companies, anyone can do to make sure that the messaging you want getting out there is getting out there the way you want it to be there.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great point. And as you say, the importance of having it be consistent both online and offline, so that if there are particular words or terms that you want to make sure get out, or that the ways that you want to be known, that you are consistent and methodical.
Exactly.
And getting that out. And those are among the things that help you scale. Well, Sandy, this has been really enlightening. Again, I love that insight, how our online activities are really informing how we're relating to people offline. So it truly is fascinating. Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for being here.
I can't believe this went so fast. Thank you. I mean, this was great.
And thanks to you for tuning in today. You know, I really want you to have a breakthrough in your business as well. So as a loyal listener, I want to give you free access to one of my special video trainings that I call Ignite. In this Ignite webinar, I share my quick growth scale formula that lets you bust through the plateau, design a self-sustaining business, and live the life you deserve. You can get free access by going to businessexponential.com/BBIgnite. Again, that's businessexponential.com/BBIgnite. Go there now, and we'll see you on the next episode of Business Breakthrough.